going to go ahead and start our race-winning press conference for today's Pennzoil 250 here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We are now joined by our race winner, Riley Herbst, driver of the number 98 Ford. Riley, congratulations on that win. A really impressive last lap by all three of you in contention. Just take us through those final laps from your vantage point and really kind of where you made the move to take home the win.
Yeah, well, thank you. That was impressive. I impressed myself. I was proud of that drive right there. I don't remember. I got off turn four, and I was probably about a second and a half behind the double zero, and I knew I was better than him. I just had an inch towards him. And there for a second, about four to go, I didn't think I was going to get it. I just thought I was getting tight and it was going to be tough. And then three to go, I made a big jump on him in a gain. I was like, okay, we got a shot at it. And then coming to two to go, I got to his inside off of four and I had the momentum. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, we got it. And then he said bottom of three. And I was like, what in the world? What do you mean? And I look in my mirror and the 20s just got a ginormous run off the top. And I was like, oh. So luckily I cleared the double zero into turn one, and I think the best two cars were myself and the double zero, so I knew I was better than the 20. It was just a matter of time if I had enough time to get him, and I wanted my move out of turn two. That's where I've gotten most of my people. I didn't really want to pass him where I passed him in the short chute, just because it's so hard to complete a pass in the short chutes because they can jump back on your outside, and you can get loose, as you saw me get loose in four, and when I was sideways, I thought it was over. I was wrecked. I threw a Hail Mary and it stuck. I just cranked the wheel to the right and went wide open, and somehow I could drive out of it. And then just broke the draft off of four to the line. But that was cool. That was a lot of fun. This is iconic. This is the place that you dream of coming just to watch a race and let alone be here. I just won, so that's pretty cool.
All right, we'll go ahead and take questions for Riley. If you have one, go ahead and raise your hand. We're gonna work to get a mic. Round two, guys, we'll start with Kelly and then work our way around. Go ahead, Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Riley, speaking of the last lap, the move you made on Eric, have you seen it yet of how sideways you were? And can you just describe that feeling, making contact with him and how sideways you were through the corner to complete the pass?
Yeah, the biggest thing is my center roll speed. If I tell you right there, I rolled to him so fast in three, and I actually rolled too fast. I didn't want to pass him in the short chute. I wanted him off of four. Just because I knew that was going to happen, because a few laps earlier, AJ did the same thing to me, just put it right at my door, and I almost wrecked in three that one lap. So, I haven't seen it, but my buddy Zane Smith walked to the victory lane, and he was like, dude, that was impressive. I thought you were wrecked. And I was like, really? And he showed me a photo, and I'm at a pretty big yaw. So that was cool that I got out of that for sure. I don't know how I did it if I had to do it again, but that's what we train for. It's just instincts and just lucky to have the opportunity and able to capitalize on it. That's kind of been my mentality these last months, is I have so much opportunity in front of me. I'm on the best race team. I'm in the best race car. I have the best crew chief, and it's on me to capitalize. It's on me to step on these opportunities and take them, and luckily we were able to grab one today.
I'm not sure if you saw the finish to the Indy 500 earlier this year, but the finish to that race and this race, same track, incredibly similar. Obviously, it's two different types of driving and racing, but just the pass on turn three and heading into that final turn, like, what makes this track so maybe fit for those types of passes?
I don't know. It's all about building your runs. That's kind of the message Davin told me. We worked on that last week at Pocono, and we did a really good job at managing our runs, and you had to come here and emulate the same thing. If you take every run you get, you're not going to go anywhere because you're going to stall out and people are going to pass you. So it's all about building that run, and I saw at the Indy 500, and I think that's a pure textbook how you teach young race car drivers how to build a run, and Joseph capitalized on it. So I don't know if I was anywhere near that cool or near that historic of a finish, but it was fun to drive, and that was pretty awesome.
All right, we'll get a microphone to Nate, please, and then Steven in front.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. A couple, Riley. You mentioned in your interview with Kim that it had been a tough week for you mentally. Can you elaborate? Was there something particular?
No, I mean, I just think we're all human beings, and sometimes we go through weeks that are just hard on us, and yeah, it's just a really hard week for me personally, and I was able to come here and compartmentalize. Everybody asks me what makes a really good race car driver, and obviously, if you ask anybody in the garage, it's going to be the feel, the ability to adapt to changes, changing conditions, but I think one of the most underrated aspects of a race car driver is their ability to compartmentalize and put the outside world away and be able to go do their job and race. And so I was most proud about that, whether I won the race or wrecked off of turn four, that I was able to compartmentalize my personal life and put that aside and able to go do my job. So, yeah, I mean, we're all human beings. We're all going through emotions, and it was just kind of a hard week.
And going back to the move, the winning move off of through three, you said you'd have to go back. You don't know how you did it. But, like, how much of it was instinct or just keeping your foot in it? Was it something you were doing with the wheel, or was it just you just hope for the best and just held it to the floor?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of everything, right, Nate? I knew how much faster I could roll the center than the 20. I drove to him all day. Like, I was like, the center is not going to be the issue. It's about putting my run where I want my run, and I failed at that. I wanted my run in the center of four, and I got it in three. But then when I got to his bumper and got him loose, I couldn't check out of the gas because I knew the double zero was about four back. And so if I lifted off of three to, like, try to build my run back up, A, I didn't think I was going to get my run back in four, and I think the double zero was going to capitalize on me. So when I just rolled so fast through three that I had to make that move. And, yeah, we kind of, like, touched on entry, got me really loose, and I just, like, drove out of it, and I was like, it's for the Brickyard, and I just went wide open, and so thankful that we have the restrictor plate on it, because I don't think it would have stuck if we were unlimited power.
And last one for me, I don't know if you saw it, but Denny Hamlin immediately afterward just tweeted the word impressive, obviously referring to your win. You just talked about seizing opportunities. There's a lot of talk about your future. How much does hearing that from Denny Hamlin and knowing that, you know, you're trying to sort of validate yourself as, I'm a winning driver, I'm a cup caliber driver, you know, I guess, you know, encapsulate all of that for me?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is I've always known I can do this back in 2020 and 2021 when I was reading everything online that I couldn't finish race and I had no speed. I knew that if I worked hard enough, I could be where I am right now. So when you see somebody in the best in the sport, one of the best in the sports, like Denny Hamlin, tweet that it was impressive, I mean, that makes you feel good. Obviously, everybody wants to feel wanted in this world. And I'm excited for that he said that. I mean, I got text messages from a lot of really good race car drivers saying the same thing. So that's pretty awesome. But this is such a huge moment, but we're going to have a summer break, and now we need to continue this momentum. And like I said in January, I think we're one of the best three teams in the garage, and there's no reason why we shouldn't be in Phoenix, and I think that just proved it right there.
All right, if I can get a microphone to Stephen, Bob, and then to Bruce.
Stephen Toronto, CBS Sports. Joe Custer was in here this morning during Cole's announcement, and he mentioned that Haas factory team has made an offer to you for their Xfinity team for next year, but that you and your representatives are looking at the whole sport as far as next year goes. Can you confirm that? And, you know, in terms of your options, are you looking at opportunities in Cup for next year?
Yeah, Steven, I think I'm looking at opportunities in all three levels. I've really relied hard on Kevin Harvick. But to your first question, yes, I've had a lot of talks with Haas factory, and they're going really well, and obviously they have really fast race cars, as you saw today. But I think I'm going to put my chips on the table with Kevin Harvick and everybody at Kevin Harvick Incorporated and really rely on what they think my next step should be and where I should position myself for best for the future.
I think this is probably the strongest that the 98 team has been since you've been there. And, you know, you've been talking about how you feel like you're one of the best teams in this series and should be a contender for the championship four. How heavily does that weigh in regards to deciding whether to keep on this path or, you know, maybe try and take the next step or do something else?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that gets overlooked is it's not just my decision, right? Like, I have a say in it. I get to kind of point the ship. I get information from really strong people that I have a lot of respect for, like Kevin, and I can kind of point the ship in the direction I want. But There's a really big company out in Corona that has a really big say in Monster Energy. So that's probably going to be even more of a weight than my say for this decision in the off season, and we'll see what they want to do.
Thanks, Riley. Thank Congratulations.
You. Thank you.
All right, we'll go to Bob in the back, please.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Did you interact a lot with Eric Almirola when he was at Stuart Haas? And so were you kind of familiar with what he would do and what he wouldn't do in that situation?
Yeah. I mean, Eric was really big for me the last couple years. Him and Kevin really just try to help me be as best as I could. And no, I didn't know what he was going to do. But I know at the end of the day, he's a race car driver just like myself, and he really wants to kiss the bricks and he wants to win. So I don't think he was pleased at what happened, but I mean, I don't know. He's a good dude, and he's helped me a lot. So yeah.
All right, go to Bruce.
Bruce Martin with NBC Sports and Forbes Sports Money. Can you even begin to think of the names that have won here? Now you're one of them.
Yeah, it's Indianapolis. Like I said, this is the most famous racetrack in the world, and all due respect to Daytona, and everybody wants to win there, and like that's NASCAR's home. That's big. But I'm going to Europe tonight for the off season break, and everybody over there will know what Indianapolis is, and so that's just so heavy, and it's so cool to go down there and just walk in here. You can feel it on your shoulders, and to just be able to be here is one thing, and let alone race here, and then on top of that win is truly, truly special.
And as a kid growing up, who was your favorite Indy 500 driver? Who was your favorite Brickyard 400 driver?
Actually, now that you say that, my family is very close with Robbie Gordon, so I'm going to probably call him and tell him that I got to kiss the bricks before he did, because he had an Indy 500 locked up, I think, and then he ran out of fuel out of four. But, yeah, I mean, I just enjoyed the Indy 500, what it meant to America, to sit on the couch with my dad and have a hot dog and a cheeseburger and watch on Memorial Day weekend, and then flip over to Fox and watch the Coca-Cola 600 and to see my heroes, Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson and Denny Hamlin and Tony Stewart, Kevin Harvick. Like, that's what this place means to me. Not really. I mean, that's not that big of a deal, but like, this is just so heavy. Like, Indianapolis, when I think of that, it just brings me back to the childhood memories of watching races, not really knowing what they're doing, but just family time and bringing me and my dad together. So that was cool.
All right. And I think I had one more question up front. Okay. And then we'll go back to Dustin. Go ahead.
Zion Brown, Indianapolis Star. You mentioned just with your future being up in the air, not knowing necessarily what you want to do for next year. Does it maybe hold a little bit more significance to get a win now in this last year of Stuart Haas?
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, I didn't want to go anywhere. Stuart Haas Racing was a home to me. They picked me up when I got pushed out of my other place. And, yeah, Greg Zipidelli, Tony Stewart, they truly built me up when I was very, very down. And I thought I saw myself at Stuart Haas Racing for as long as my racing career was. And to get to hear the rumblings in March, and then to get the news in May, that was really, really tough. And those are really good people over there, and we'll just have to build on that and try to see where we land.
All right, Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Riley, everybody progresses at different rates in different situations.
Yep.
This is, you know, fifth full season in this series, which can be considered a really long time with how many young people come in and out. One is, how do you feel like you've progressed? And two, the challenge of seeing people come in, move on as you're still making your climb.
Yeah, I think there's a couple points there. I think the biggest thing is I had an interview with Kelly a couple weeks ago, and I don't think there's somebody in the top three series that has progressed and gotten better more than me. Just going back and watching who I was in 2020, I mean, I was just a different person. And to see where I am now, that's impressive. 2020 Riley probably didn't even finish. He probably would have wrecked early in the race and just trying too hard. And I think comparison is the thief of joy, honestly. So, yeah, I mean, there's very, very talented race car drivers that have come and gone in this series. But everybody walks at a different rate. Everybody runs at a different rate. And I knew that if I continued to work on myself and if I continued to improve, that I was going to be here and I could win, and I could win in this series. So I just honestly believe, just kind of what my grandfather told all of us grandkids as a young kid, that hard work always pays off. Don't know when, but it's inevitable and it will pay off.
And you talked about just the guidance and direction of Kevin Harvick, and just, you know, obviously he has his hands in a lot of things and very involved, and certainly a key figure in the sport, but just, you know, how he has kind of helped mold you or kind of helped guide you in ways that we don't see.
It's incredible. Just calling him and like just talking with somebody who's obviously done it at the very, very high level. And I think one of the most underrated race car drivers, for him to win that championship in 2014 against Hendrick equipment and basically the same equipment, that's elite stuff right there. So just talking about the little things. Like, I remember when I first signed at KHI, he sat me down and he's just like, if we're running 15th, finish 15th. That's all we got to do. And then once we finish 15th, let's try to for a 10th. It's just small, minor things. And I mean, I guess that sounds simple now, but when you're a young race car driver and you have the weight of the world on your shoulders, all you see is people winning 10 races a year, and you just want to win, and your buddies are winning championships, and you just don't know what's going on. You just have to take a step back and understand that it's a process, and everybody develops at a different rate.
All right, Lee, we'll wrap with Lee in the back.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. As I was coming back from the bricks, I saw a young gentleman out there. Actually, he was a kid, all dressed in monster gear, and I was curious whether or not you stopped to see him, because he just seemed like he was over the moon with your win.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I would never expected people to wear Riley Herbst gear at a racetrack at all. So that's one thing. And then the second thing, yeah, I saw him last week at Pocono as well. He's a big fan, and it's cool to see support and to see it slowly start running the ground game. And it's just awesome, man. I always knew I could do it, but sometimes you start questioning yourself, and I just want to Indianapolis, and the weight of that is very, very big.
All right, Riley, congratulations on that big win. We wish you the best of luck when you guys return to the track in 3 weeks. Enjoy your break, and we appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you. Don't call. My phone will be off for 3 weeks.